And that's the first five books of the Bible, right?
In the Old Testament, right? Can anybody mention the next book of the Bible? Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, right? So we're going to go first to Genesis chapter 15. And are you all there? Genesis chapter 15. And I'm going to read from 13 to 14. Are you there? Okay, 13, it says, "Then the Lord said to him, 'Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. Okay? But, you see that word, but I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions.'" Okay? That's Genesis 13 to 14. Remember, he is talking to Abraham. He made a covenant with Abraham, right? But God says that, remember, in verse 13 says, "Then the Lord said to Abraham," or to him, "'Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own,'" which means he's talking about the children of Israel, the 12 tribes of Judah, that they are going to a country not their own, which is what? Anybody? Egypt, right? Who is talking to Abraham. Now jump to chapter 50. Chapter 50:50. And we're going to read verse 22. Are you there already? 50:50. Verse 22. And it says, "Joseph stayed in Egypt along with all his father's family. He lived 110 years and saw the third generation of Ephraim's children. Also the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, were placed at birth on Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am about to die, but God,'" there's so that word again, "'but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised an oath to Abraham.'" Okay, he's referring that to the verse that we just read, right? He made a promise. He made a covenant to Abraham. This is what he's talking about Joseph here. Now, he says, "But God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And Joseph made the son of Israel swear an oath and said, "God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place." So Joseph died at the age of 110, and after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. Okay. Now jump to the next, to the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to read verse 22. Are you all there? Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to read verse 22. Are you all there? Okay. Verse 22 said, remember this Hebrew chapter 11, this is what they call it, the by faith. This is the faith chapter. Okay, chapter 11 and verse 22, it says, are you all there? By faith, who? Joseph. Remember in the Old Testament, in chapter 50, he's talking Joseph. And remember, it says, by faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instruction about his what? About his bones. I said, what in the world is, why did God put something here about the bones of Joseph? Do you think it's intriguing? But we know the Bible says that every scripture is inspired by God. Amen? So this morning, I want you to be inspired. Because today is our Christmas celebration for our Lord Jesus Christ. And during this season, we need to reflect the blessing of God. Amen? No matter if you're going to get a gift today, or you're not going to get a gift today, but you will be blessed because God has given you a gift. Amen? And the blessing of God come in so many different shapes, different forms, and the blessings of God, they are unmeasurable. Amen? It's innumerable. Amen? So I would suggest that this Christmas, we should consider the blessing that are found in the box of bones. In the box of bones. I said, Pastor Ed, why do you have a message, the box of bones? What in the world? Usually when Christmas time, the Christmas message, usually Isaiah 51, right? That about God has given us the Son, and his name is Jesus. But today, I want you to go beyond your five senses that influence us. And I want you to go beyond that and to be spiritual. Amen? I want you to be in your real life because you are a spirit being. Amen? So I just want to share this message to you and encourage you. The life of Joseph. While Joseph was gathering, remember he was gathering the children and grandchildren, he began speaking the divine plan of God for him, his family, and for his nation. See, when he's speaking in Genesis chapter 50, he is not only speaking about himself and about his son, but he's speaking about his grandchildren. And his great-great-grandchildren. It's because he's speaking about one generation to the next generation. And we cannot just contain in our own generation because we are impacting. We are not just impacting our generation today, but we are impacting our generation to the third generation. Amen? We cannot just contain and be selfie in our own self. Amen? Selfish or selfie, whatever. Amen? So Joseph was gathering his whole one generation to the next generation. And he said to his family in verse 24, remember we read that one? He says, I am about to die. I think we have that one, Irvin. No? Yes. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 24, he says, I am about to die, but God will surely take care of you and bring you up from this land to the land which he promised an oath to Abraham. Remember that? To Isaac and Jacob. Remember that? He promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph made the sons of Israel Jacob swore an oath and said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones from this place. Remember that? Joseph is encouraging his generation, to the third generation, to the great-grandchildren. So I just want to encourage you this morning, those who are 60, 70, or maybe 90, that you are not impacting your own children, but you're impacting your grandchildren, your future grandchildren, even this child still in the womb of their mother. Amen? So Joseph was a mighty man and the leaders of leaders. However, when he spoke about his bones, now we're going to go to his bones. He became qualified to join the rank of the leaders in the Hall of Fame of Faith. Remember, in Hebrews chapter 11, it's Joseph, he said that in Hebrews 11, verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about Exodus of Israel from Egypt and gave instruction about his bones. What in the world is it? God, why are you talking about the bone of Joseph? Why didn't you talk about when his brothers put him in that well, on that pit, and he was able to survive? And then God, why don't you put there in the palace where he grew up? Why in the world that you put this in the faith chapter about the bones of Joseph? Did you ever ask yourself about that? Why in the world, of all of these things that Joseph encountered in his life, he went through his life, why put those pit, those place where he lived? So Joseph, what's amazing is that 25% of Genesis is devoted to the life of Joseph. Have you noticed that? But the book of Hebrews record nothing about the place, the things that he went through, the prison that he went through, the palace that he went through. Remember, he was in the prison. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22, mentioned Joseph commenting about the Exodus and his command concerning his bones. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the Exodus of Israel from Egypt and gave instruction about his bones. But then, Hebrews chapter 11, it says, it is impossible. Do you know that verse? It is impossible to please God without faith. Amen? If you please God, it does not really matter of who you displace. Right? But if you please displaces God, it does not really matter who you please. Right? Amen? How many of you watched the debate or the debate of the Republican? Anybody? Just you? Remember Trump, do you know Trump? Trump. You see, so you're saying that the terrorists could kill us, but we cannot kill them? Remember that? The same thing, the story here. If you please God, no matter who you displeases, did you get it? But if you displeases God, you're in deep trouble regarding how many people you please. Did you get me? Amen? I'd rather please God than I please other people. Amen? So do you want to please God? Because it is imperative. It is absolutely No question that we spend and invest our lives in ministry that pleases God. Amen? Some of the greatest lessons regarding the Spirit-filled leadership are found in the life and legacy of Joseph. Amen? So I want to share with you three things this morning that we can withdraw from the box of bones. Amen? The first one is that, we need to remember the unbreakable promises of God. How do you view life? Do you see it as having a significance in the fulfillment of the divine plan of God in the earth? Why do you want the Lord to bless your ministry? Do you have the vision to the ends of the earth? If we have a limited vision, we will have a limited interest. Right? If our vision is limited, chances are our interest. Right, Regine? That's true. Amen. If we have unlimited vision, we will have unlimited interest. But Joseph himself, in the fulfillment of God's promises throughout the earth during his lifetime, he knew God is and the plan of God, not only to him, but also to the third generation. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 13 and 14, we read it. Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in the country that not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with what?" That's the promise of Abraham, of God to Abraham, that even though they go through some trials, they go some hardship in Egypt, God is saying, you know what? But once you get out there, I will make you great. You will be rich. Amen? And sometimes we just want the blessing, but we don't want the hardship in there. Right? But God's promise, remember the unbreakable promise of God. And remember, this promise was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph. Did it say there? Joseph? No, it's only for the three generations that they have. Abraham, Isaac, and Joseph. But God, and Jacob, sorry. But God put this in the heart of Joseph, that regardless whether he is alive or dead, bring me to the promised land. I want to be part of God's plan. And remember that guy from the New Testament, Simon? He says that, "I will not die until I see the Savior." See how God put this all together in the heart of Joseph, that regardless whether he's going to be alive, when they will bring back to the promised land, but Joseph, I want to be, carry my bones. Amen? And remember, God's promise to Abraham, then passed on to Isaac and Jacob. And then when you're reading the Old Testament, one sees the phrase, "God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob," but not Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. So even though the promise was not directly given to Joseph, he had to persist the promise and realize that God was going to use him to help fulfill the promise on earth. Amen? This is what James Davis from Global Pastor Network said. Faith is not getting your will done in heaven, but getting God's will done on earth. See that? faith is not getting your will done in heaven, but getting God's will done on earth. Amen? So the vision and mission of God and His plan and promise have been passed on to us. Do you know that? That vision, that promise, that promise, that command, or the promise of God to Abraham, the contract is that not only to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but also to Joseph and to the rest of us. Amen. We are part of the plan of God. There is no plan B. It's only plan A. Amen? So we need to remember the unbreakable promise of God. God will not lie. Amen? God will fulfill His promise and plan upon the earth. Do you wish to have a role in the fulfillment of what's in the heart of God? Does any one of us would like to be part of God's plan? God has only one plan. Amen? In Revelation chapter 13, I didn't put it there. Verse 8, we can read, every tribe, every tongue, and every nation will gather around the throne of God. See? There is no other. Every nation, every tongue, whether you're a Longo, Ilocano, or Chabacano, or Pampanguino, we're going to be gathering around the throne of God. Amen? Have you ever seen yourself helping to fulfill what is ultimately God's plan for your generation, our generation, for the ages, the past, the present, and the future? See, we are not only coming in here and making a sermon and visiting the sick. We are moving the world closer to the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Brothers and sisters. Amen? So, the back of bones. First, is that we need to remember the unbreakable promises of God. And not only to Abraham, but down to our generation. Amen? The second one, we need to rely on the unshakable power of God. Regardless of what circumstances may dictate. We see that in the life of Joseph. Regardless of what circumstances may come, God's word will come to pass. When Joseph said, God will bring you out of this land. 400 years. Can you imagine that? 400 years of promises of God. And sometimes we say, where are you, God? We read the promises of God today. And then, God, can you do that today? We cannot wait. Amen? They were the most favored people in the nation, the children of Israel. They were given the best food, the best land, and the best living condition. They were favored by Pharaoh, and everyone loved the Jews. However, Joseph knew that times will change. Can you imagine that for 400 years? The time will change. He knew the time would come that the descendants would not be prosperous and free. And sometimes we say, you know what? The season of time comes and go. Amen? However, Joseph knew the times that would change. Faith sees life through the lens of the Holy Scripture. There is a tendency for Christians to sometimes view the world through the pattern or the example of the world. However, we must view the world through the lens of what God has already said in His Word. Amen? Real faith is not that we name it and claim it, but God names it and we claim it. Amen? Faith is believing what God said would be so, even though it is not so until it becomes so. Amen? God's power is unshakable regardless of the concern around us. Worry will wear you out. How many say amen? A lot of people are worrying. What's going to happen? And I think we tested that about 3 weeks ago. A lot of people. We are in the what do you call it, ground zero. And I bet you there's a lot of worried people in Redlands or Highland or San Bernardino. But it's okay to worry, but for a short time, but we know who is our protector. Amen. Who is our protector? And in Habakkuk, whatever, how do you pronounce it? In Habakkuk, it says, though it tarry, wait for it. It will surely come to pass. You know? Though it is sometimes late, but when it's late, it doesn't mean that been denied. When it's delayed, it doesn't mean denied, right? Amen? God is rarely earlier, but he is never late. Amen? Joseph knew that God's promises would come to pass whether he was alive to see it or not. Amen? When God places a vision in your heart, if you remain faithful, the day will come that you will hold it in your hand. Amen? And the third one. See, I told you the last, that's the last one. See? The third one, we need to rest on the unmistakable peace of God. Even while Jesus speaks on his death, he's enjoying his children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Only God can give us peace that passes all mental understanding. Only God can give us the peace that is beyond comprehension. And even though it is hard to describe peace, we know when we have it. Isn't that right? When we have peace, nobody can explain that to you. It's not the burrito that you eat. Amen? But the Bible states that Joseph died and he was embalmed and placed in a coffin in Egypt. And Genesis begins with the creation and ends with a casket. Casket. Did you notice that? The book of Genesis starts with the creation and then ends with Joseph in the coffin. That's intriguing. Why was Joseph not content to be buried in Egypt? Why was he so insistent on going with the Israelites when they did live in Egypt? Remember, I want you to picture this. Joseph was embalmed in Egypt, and the children of Israel wandering for 40 years carrying the coffin. Is that intriguing? Can you imagine that? That whenever they cross Jordan, they have that coffin with them. And then he was able to get into the promised land. Moses did not get into the promised land. But Joseph, even though he died, his bones was able to get into the promised land. Why is that? Did you ever ask yourself, why is the bones of Joseph was able to get in? And even Moses could not get in. Isn't that amazing? Right? Because Joseph was interested in being part of what God was doing on the earth, whether he was dead or alive. And I challenge you this morning. I want to be part of what God's plan on this earth. Amen? I want to be part. Can you say that with integrity, that you want to be part what God is doing today? Amen? God has put us here. I don't know. We've been here for almost 18 years, right? 18 years? 20 years? But the children of Israel, they were there for 40 years. We're halfway. So don't get discouraged. Like me, huh? You can see these kids. They were still in the crib, in the carrier, in the stroller. And look at them. Man, they're... So one thing that reminds me, when you see this judge used to be a little one here. Judge would challenge you. Huh, judge? Kyra, where's Kyra? Is not here? And Kent? So I encourage you this morning. Encourage you. So don't get frustrated. If you have been here, if the children of Israel been carrying that coffin, that bones inside the box for 40 years, wandering in the wilderness, hey, it's encouraging for all of us. Amen? Are you encouraged to learn the gift in the box of bones? Amen? So Joseph was not interested in having a pyramid name after him, becoming the famous mummy. What are you interested in? Are you more interested in the rich and famous than godly and pure? Are you trying to make a lot of money so you can retire early? What motivates you? Amen? And then I give this three blessings that I hope it will motivate you today. That either you're going to have a gift of box that you will receive or not, I'm just encouraging you. There's a box of bones that will encourage us this morning. Amen? As the Israelite exiting Egypt, Moses had given a commandment regarding the bones. He commanded nearly 2 million years to stop. And then he asked, can you picture the children of Israel? And how many millions are they wandering in the wilderness? And they're in the verge of getting into the promised land. And then Moses, stop! Where's the bone of Joseph? Can you picture that out? Can you picture that out? And then they're getting into the promised land, which Moses didn't even get in. And Moses said, Where's the bones of Joseph? Because they could not get in until that bones came in too. Right? Amen? So can you imagine the scene, the picture? No doubt someone says, Moses, I was not in the casket ministry. Maybe somebody in the casket ministry. Right? I do not know where Joseph is today. Moses says, we cannot live without Moses' bone. We must find Joseph and bring him with us. I do not know how long this took, but they find Joseph's coffin and brought it out of Egypt. I do not believe the casket was carried out at the end of the procession or left in Egypt, but at the head of the line. Do you know what the casket represents? And what it was saying to the people today? I said, I told you so. I told you, God will visit us and bring us out in Egypt. Amen? So the casket represents that God is with us. That His promise will come to pass. Amen? That God is with us regardless of what we went through. Last week I shared with you that God is with us. That when God came here on this earth, Nobody knows that God is with him. And that's what Sister Rose said. They don't have a clue. They are clueless. People are clueless that God is with us, that God is with them. And in just naming the name of Jesus, it's right there. Amen? It's God is with us. So the reason why the Israelites carried the coffin through the Jordan River all the way to the place where they're going to bury it is that Joseph entered Canaan with Moses when Moses was not permitted to do so. Moses would look at the promised land, but Joseph would possess it even though he is dead. Joseph went to the places Moses never did during his life. So, may we always remember that when Joshua and Caleb entered into Canaan, they also brought Joseph with them. And we need to remember these three things as we celebrate this Christmas. First, remember the unbreakable promise. The unbreakable promises of God. Amen. You cannot know the promises of God unless you read the Word of God. Amen? Rely on the unshakable power of God. Just give up. If the children of Israel carrying that bones for 40 years, that keep on telling them, don't give up. The promises of God is yes and amen. It never breaks. And that rely on the unshakable power of God. That His promise will come on time. Because God never wear a rest watch. He always in the fullness of time. Amen? And rest in the unmistakable peace of God. See, you can be here. You can be here in America. But if you don't have Jesus Christ, there's that sticker in the car. No Jesus, no peace. You can be here. If we don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, there is no peace. Or you can be in the Philippines, on Mount Pinatubo, and you have Jesus Christ, you still have peace. Amen? So I challenge you this today. Three things about the bones. Remember the unbreakable promise of God, rely on the unshakable power of God, and rest in the unmistakable peace of God. Amen? Shall we all stand? Can we ask the worship team, Brother Ray? Hallelujah. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the bones of Moses that's been placed in the box. And Father, we thank you, God. Just to remind us, Lord, that your promises is unbreakable. And your power cannot be shaken, Lord God. And that the peace is unmistakable, Lord God. And Father, we thank you today. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us that Jesus Christ came into this world. And Lord, to give us peace. And Father, this morning, our prayer that you will give us, Lord, the discernment. Give us the wisdom, Lord, to discern that we may not be in the paradigm of this world, Lord, but in the plan of God that we have in our life. And Father, we thank you today, Lord, for everyone, Lord, standing before you this morning. We pray, Father God, that it will engrave in our heart, Lord God, these three things, Lord, that we need as we celebrate our Christmas, Lord. The day when you come into this world and to be man just like us, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. Thank you for everyone that stand here, Lord, this morning. And Father, if there's anybody here this morning, Lord, that have not experienced, that have not received you, Lord God, as their Lord and Savior of their life, Father, we pray that you will speak to them, Lord God, and give them, Lord, the assurance that you alone, God, that you came into this world, that everyone that believes on you, Lord, will have peace. Peace that is beyond comprehension, Lord God. And Father, we thank you today. We pray that you will not let them, Lord, go home without you, Lord God, the Prince of Peace in their heart. Lord, we ask all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Now let's proceed. Thank you, Pastor. Now let's proceed to our offering.